James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show. It is another beautiful day in West Alabama. One thought, though, on what the weather is causing. Chase, I'm going to see if you're having to deal with it. Maybe it's just where I live over at First and Main in Northport. But it's Tuesday, November 18th. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's already 62 degrees this morning, going all the way up to 75. I mean, this is wild. We're in late November. Thanksgiving is 9 days away, and we're dealing with near, you know, some of these. I think later this week it could hit 80, which would be near record highs. But got a great show on tap. We'll get to all that in a minute. But my quick story about the weather issues. And see some phone calls coming in. We're going to get that good. We need phone calls today, too. More on that in a moment as well. But here is what I'm dealing with. I'm curious if you're listening, if you're having the same issue. Chase, I'm wondering if you do where you live. Where I live, you know, right off the, not far from the river, next to the train trestle, I have had a ladybug infestation. They have been everywhere. And here's the deal. I open that door, and I mean, because I don't know, that's the only time I don't think there's any of those condominiums are sealed tight, but I don't know how, but they get into the house, and they're a major pain. And one day, this was last week, I think, or because they've been around for a while, because we can't get a cold spell to knock them out. I read up on them. They go dormant when they're, I think they're those, there's invasive ladybugs. But anyway, I walked out the door in a black jacket. I think the color, I got into my truck, and they were all over me. I mean, all over me. So then, of course, they're all in my vehicle. So I got to find them and get them out of there. You know, it's just, but anyway, and I'm read now that they will not, they need a cold snap. And it's, so, you know, you don't deal with them at your house, huh?
No, that's news to me.
Well, this is the first place I've ever run into them, but they, man, they fly too. And I see we've got Cam on the line. He lives up there in North Georgia with all that fruit and all those fruits and vegetables. Maybe he can, but if you're dealing with a ladybug infestation, let me know. Because I'm tired of them. I mean, they're harmless, I guess, but I mean, still, it's like, my goodness. And I look up on the walls. They're all over the walls. They get in. So anyway, but that day I walked out in that black jacket, boy, they got all over me. So anyway, that's. But the weather is great. I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just saying, again, it's very unusual to have this. Other than that, with that one cold snap we've had, and this is yet. I did it, documented it again. This is another football season. Now, it could change, I guess, with the Iron Bowl next week, possibly, because this Saturday is going to be warm, I think. But this is another football season, Chase, that we're about to go through without any football weather, without any need to wear a jacket. I mean, it's been shorts and short-sleeve shirts the entire football season. Weirds me out a little bit. Again, I don't want to, and when I say this, don't take me wrong, I don't want to freeze to death. I really don't. But all you folks out there that know about these ladybugs and am I right? If we get a freeze, that they'll be gone because they are everywhere and they're starting to drive me crazy. They're starting to be a pain. And another thing that I dealt with, I think, you know, I call them stink bugs. Those little black, little grayish bugs, same type thing. They get in your house. So anyway, I guess it's living over there by all the, you know, by the river and, you know, all the trees and all that, but I'm curious what you folks know about those. All right, before we go any further, let me tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. I should know I'm a member, and I'd love for you to join us, a community of financially empowered individuals and families. When you become a part of the Alabama Credit Union, you're a member of a community that values your success. Together, we strive for financial empowerment, creating a brighter future for you and your loved ones. As a member-owned institution, Alabama Credit Union prioritizes your financial well-being. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we got a lot going on, and that's a good thing because I have another little quick story. Yesterday was one of those days. I mean, I did not stop. I mean, listen, I'm adjusting to the 9 o'clock news, and you would say that's probably an advantage because I get to go home an hour earlier, and that is, but I'm adjusting to it, Chase, from the standpoint that when I had 10 o'clock news, that's an extra hour. I mean, we're an extra hour to do a lot of things for this show, too. And like last night, we had our podcast, Inside the Trenches, at 7 o'clock up here at the radio station. So I came up here. I did the podcast. I didn't get back until 8:15. So obviously I was pushed. We were getting some high school basketball, high school junior college basketball in from Shelton and a turkey giveaway with Parker Brailsford. So by 9:30, when the news is over and you have a little post-show meeting, the problem by that time is it's kind of hard to get anything lined up for the next day. It's a little bit late to start. So I'm adjusting to the new time. So we only have one guest today. It's a good one. It is a good one. It is my friend Rudy Armin, the Rocket Man, will be coming up at 9:30 this morning. But I'm telling you what we're going to do. We got a lot of topics to cover. We got guests lined up. Hey, you guys hold tight. We're gonna get to you. We got Cam, we got Tom, we got Corey and Trustful. We got a little message from the YMCA that I'm coming back with on the other side. Then we'll take phone calls, and we'll have Rudy Armin. So we got the press conferences from yesterday. In that second hour, we're going to be wide open for phone calls, too. And, of course, we'll talk about this Lane Kiffin situation. It's starting to get a little silly over there in Oxford with the Ole Miss head coach. What is he going to do? We'll have topics on discussion on that topic as well. But, listen, if you know about these ladybugs, let me know when you call in. All right, we'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show. It's 12 minutes after 9, and we'll visit with Jeff Knox, from the CEO from the YMCA, for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll get to our phone calls. All right, we'll be right back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Interim Northport City Administrator Tara Tubbs is no longer interim. She's been appointed to the position in a full-time role. That position also carries a number of other duties. A contract with Ms. Tubbs will be negotiated by two members of the City Council. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
All right, 9:16. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. This note, because as I said, such a busy day yesterday, and Drew is our only guest, and we got phone calls lined up. So Drew has graciously agreed to join us at 10. We're going to push him back to 10. So all you folks that are on hold, we're going to get to you after I visit with my friend Jeff Knox from the YMCA for a couple of minutes. But then we'll have the whole first hour for phone calls. So we'll have plenty of time to get to them. But as I said, Jeff Knox, my friend from the YMCA, he is the CEO, and wanted to get him on here as we head into the holidays. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. I am just fine.
Well, as you know, and as I've told the listeners here daily when I talk about the Y, it's caught up with me. The football season, I start out pretty well, but during the course of the season, it's easy for me to kind of fall off on the workouts, and that's happened. But I was saying yesterday that I'm going to be committed to getting back in there, because I think a lot of people, Jeff, they look at the holidays and they say, well, you know what, I'm going to be eating, I'm going to be going to parties, I'm not going to be quite as disciplined, so I'll just take a break and I'll start back in January. But I was saying, don't let the holidays stop you from at least keeping your conditioning up or getting a head start. You can eat what you want if you want to take a break from that, but there's more reason than ever, I think, to get into the Y and at least conditioned during these next 6 weeks or so, that so when you go in there in January, you got a head start on everybody else, right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, we kind of look at the theory of maintain, don't gain during this time.
Right.
You know, you may not move ahead, but you certainly don't want to go backwards. And we got 44 days to the end of the year, so let's make use of it.
All right, see, there you go. All right, what is, because I know the holidays are a special time at the Y, in addition to all that's going on in the Wellness Center, but there's a lot of events and special things that y'all do to celebrate the holidays with the members.
Yes, sir. We've got three big ones happening. We just launched our Angel Tree this week. We're going to make sure 75 families have the best Christmas possible. So if your listeners are interested in stopping by and grabbing a child or two children off the tree, we would love that. Saturday, December 6th is our annual Rudolph Run. And this year, not only do we have the normal 8K, but we've added a 5K and a 1 mile fun run to that.
That is awesome. Yeah.
And so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's on December 6th. There's plenty of time to get to the SEC championship game if Bama's playing. So you can still run. And our annual Christmas tree sale is going on as well. We just launched that on Saturday. So there's a lot happening at the Y.
The Christmas tree sale is important. And not only can you get a beautiful Christmas tree, a live tree, but it's a big fundraiser, correct?
That is absolutely correct. We raised somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000, all of which goes to support programming for our children and families at the Y.
In terms of the Wellness Center, and in terms of the personal training, in terms of the fitness classes, in terms of all the things that are available at the Y, just kind of, since I haven't had you on in a while, just kind of remind us what all is available there for members and prospective members.
Sure. We have the beautiful Wellness Center, as you always talk about, but we also have personal trainers that'll help you meet your specific goals. And we have both male and female, and we can work with you at any time of the day. We have 40 group exercise classes weekly, everything from yoga to CrossFit style training. So we have a little bit of everything. And one of the big groups that we work with are our seniors. Almost half of our classes are specifically designed for seniors.
If people want to find out more about the Y, and of course I send them to ymcatuscaloosa.org, I give out the phone number, but if they just want to come by and visit and talk to one of the staff or be shown around, they can do that, right?
Absolutely. Anytime we are open, stop by. We'd love to have you at either of our locations.
And finally, Jeff, hours of operation.
Hours, we open at 5 a.m. till 9 during the week, and 6 to 4 non-home game Saturdays, and 1 to 5 on Sunday.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Have a great one. Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate it. Jeff Knox, CEO of the YMCA. All right, let's get to our phone calls. They're lining up, and as I said, we are going to have Drew on at 10, so we'll have plenty of time for phone calls. I'd rather do them in this first hour than in the second hour. We got a lot of topics to hit on as well, but let's lead it off with we got Cam, Tom, and then Corey and Trustful. So you guys all, we'll get to all of you. Hey, Cam, good morning.
Hey, brother. How are you doing, man?
Doing great.
Hey, man, I'm, up here in North. Hey, listen, ladybugs are good, dude. For the gardeners, they eat the aphids. They have a purpose. You might not like them, but they work in the garden expeditiously against the aphids on some of the brachiuses my wife grows. Now, there's different types, red and orange, and I don't know any about that stuff. But the red ones are really beneficial, to answer your question, on the ladybugs.
Okay.
My question to you, I'm North Georgia. My education's not that good. I am still really confused, bro. So you can jump over a lineman? As long as
what I was told, okay, is that if you don't get a running start, in other words, if you're stationary and you jump up the way that he did, and maybe I need to get an official. All right, we got ladybug question. I'm getting texts about the ladybugs too. I've asked about the ladybugs. If there's an official out there that knows the rule on jumping over the center to block a field goal, call in and let us know, because I'm not sure. I thought it was a penalty, but evidently it wasn't. And, you know, evidently if you don't get a running start, you're allowed to do it. But I don't know. I can't tell you anything more than that, Cam.
So how do you block it? How do you even prepare for that?
Because I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You're asking me a question that I don't know the answer to. I thought it was a penalty. The guy did an unbelievable job of getting up.
That's impressive.
Himself and getting a hand on the field goal, and it wasn't a penalty. So then someone in the press box told me that unless you get a running start and launch yourself, that it's not a penalty. But that's all I know, Cam. I don't really know any more than you do. That's why I'm saying, if there's somebody out there that knows the answer, give us a call.
That's impressive. I mean, that is a physical monster. Yeah. Hey, man, last thing. And the wife kind of brought this up. It doesn't look like the SEC champions. I mean, it's losing its luster. Why do we even have it anymore, man? Why don't we just go?
Money. That's why they have it. Money, and it's just been in place. But I do think there may come a time where you're right. It's becoming more of a detriment than it is a positive. There are teams, you know, a lot of teams are saying, coaches saying privately, they'd rather not play in it if they could get in the playoff and not play in the SEC championship game or other championship games. So I think there'll come a time.
I mean, is Notre Dame going to be there every year because they're an independent? I mean, as long as they pull that. Hey, last thing. The wife just said Jam Miller ran up the middle for 2 yards. Hey, I got to go, brother. Roll Tide.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Cam. All right, let's keep it going with the sheriff, Tom, with us again. 205-342-9904. I asked about ladybugs. Some people have given me good advice on that. And, and in fact, Philip said, vacuum them up. And Tom, you may know the answer to this. Hold on, let me get my phone here. Philip said that, vacuum them up, but discard them off site. Don't put them in the dumpster because they'll come right back to your zone. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. Maybe this is a bad thing to do. But I've been killing them myself. That's what I've been doing. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well.
On the ladybugs, Cam is right. They are beneficial insects where they eat other insects. If you're a gardener like I am, you love seeing ladybugs in your flower beds and in your garden because they eat these little pests called aphids.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very destructive to your vegetables and fruit trees and stuff like that. And I don't kill them. I just let them do whatever they want to do.
What about the native ladybugs, the ones that are from Alabama versus these invasive ones? Is there any difference, or are they all good?
Now, I don't know anything about an invasive. Yeah, I deal with the red ones, and they are very, very good. And I personally, I mean, a lot of people, they don't want bugs in their house and all like that. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person, if I see a snake, I don't automatically go kill it because I know that joker eats rats.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And just because something's there, that don't mean I'm gonna kill it.
I don't mind them either. I really don't. I think they're neat, but I just don't want them all in. I just don't want them all. How do they all get in your house in your condo? Because that thing's sealed up pretty good.
I know, and I can't figure that out either. Mm-hmm. I just go, well, hello. I'm glad to see you. I hope you're here in the spring when I'm gardening. But I was gonna tell you this. They're so good at what they do. A lot of people buy them and get them chipped in, and then they'll take that container and go out and open it in the garden or the flower bed or wherever they want the action to take place. And I think that's an outstanding idea. Now I called the local co-op down here, and they're so daggum scared somebody ain't gonna buy fertilizer. They don't know what to do. We never heard of that. That's what they say, but there are people out there that deal in them, and they're very beneficial to gardening and flower beds.
Okay, well, so, I won't worry about getting rid of them. Then they're positive. That's why I was asking.
I would. That's up to you, but I think they're a God's gift to people like me.
All right, brother. Well, I know you also got some sports to talk about. I've gotten you off on the ladybug tangent, but what else is on your mind?
Well, no, when you said ladybug, that's a pet peeve of mine. I love that. And I was going to try to encourage you to let them go so that they'll be everywhere. But, my thing is, I think if Alabama wins at Auburn and then goes over to, if they make it to the championship game and get killed in it, like I think they will if they play either A&M or especially Georgia. But, of course, it's no way. If Alabama makes this championship game, it's not going to be against Georgia, and unless something happens this weekend. But I think three losses, you're out. I don't think the committee is going to let you in with three losses. I don't care where that third loss comes
from.
Well,
I disagree, Tom. I think if Alabama were to win the next two games at 10-2, 7-1 in the SEC, and go to the SEC championship game and lose, I still think they go to the playoff. Because if you penalize a team for playing an extra game in your conference championship game in the SEC, then there's going to be an uproar like we've never heard. So I disagree with that.
Roared last year, and it meant nothing. And which I didn't think we should have got in last year either. But
but they didn't. They had three losses in the regular season. That's a whole different scenario.
Right.
I mean,
I agree. But my point is, and you're right. You're right. My point is, we uproared, but it meant nothing. And here's what I'm saying, Gary. Every year, this is what the committee does. They start out, who's undefeated? Okay, they're undefeated. They're in. Then they go, okay, who's got one loss? So forth and so on. That's the way I read it. Now, that's me, and that's another body. I mean, you may be right about the SEC championship game, but if you want to get rid of it, let the loser not go to the playoff.
That's right. It's happening. All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate
you. Gary.
All right, yes, sir. 9:30 here on the Gary Harris Show. All right, we still got plenty of phone calls to get to, and we kind of hit the ground running this morning, but I'll tell you this. We got the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, now coming up at 10. So, Corey, you hold tight. You're up next in Trustful. Mary in Atlanta, we'll get to you. As I said, too, going to dive into this Lane Kiffin deal because it's getting to the point now where you almost feel like it might be the point of no return. People at Ole Miss are getting fed up in a hurry with him. Courting these other jobs. So we'll have a discussion about that. But more phone calls on the other side of the break. This is the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, and we'll be right back on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? Decisions bugging me.
Decision they molest
me. If you don't want me, set me free.
Set me free, yes, you.
Exactly who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:34. Welcome back into the Gary Harris. Harris Show, and I'm somebody else is helping me out here. Yeah, this is what I was talking with Tom about, Chase. It's the ladybugs versus Asian lady beetles. And there is a difference. And the ladybugs are good. And now I'm looking at, I think I've got the traditional ladybug, which is, they're great. Yeah, yeah. Asian lady beetles seem to disguise themselves as harmless ladybugs in order to infiltrate gardens and homes. And they're not nearly as positive as the regular ladybug. Okay, I'm trying to tell the difference myself. It's hard to tell the difference. So anyway, I don't want the, you don't want the Asian lady beetles. You want the good old American ladybug. So, all right, quick note on Lane Kiffin. We're going to get back to phone calls. As I said, I appreciate everybody holding on. All right, according to The Athletic, Ole Miss has handed Lane Kiffin an ultimatum to decide his future with the Rebels by their Egg Bowl game on November the 28th. Yesterday, his ex-wife, Layla, who he has reconciled with reportedly, was touring Baton Rouge. He's entertaining offers, it appears, from both LSU and Florida. And meanwhile, he's still the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels, who have absolutely bent over backwards for this guy. They've done everything that he's asked. He's been their coach since 2020. And listen, he has got them on the cusp of a college football playoff. He's had them among the top teams in the SEC for several seasons. They would like to keep him, but it is getting kind of peculiar with his ex-wife and some of his family touring Baton Rouge yesterday. And so evidently, according to The Athletic, Ole Miss officials have given him an ultimatum to decide his future with their program, which would mean, I guess, if they make the playoff and he takes one of these other jobs, he won't be coaching them in the playoffs, what it looks like this. So we'll keep an eye on this. All right, let's get to Corey in Trustful, and then we'll get to Mary over in Atlanta. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing great, buddy.
I remember a couple of weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, in my backyard, there was a huge swarm of ladybugs. And what that was there were ladybugs mating in our backyard. And there was hundreds.
Yeah, that's why it's been around my, yeah.
Hundreds. And it was also in our neighbor's backyard, too. I mean, hundreds of ladybugs swarming. They were harmless, but they were just hundreds just flying around. And I was wondering what it was at first, and I realized it was ladybugs. And just, I never seen anything like
that. Yeah, that's kind of the way it's been. I'm glad you said that, Corey, because that's why I brought it up. Because when I'd go out on my back balcony, that was the same thing here. They were just everywhere. I mean, and then when I walked out my front door that day and I was wearing that dark jacket, and I read later they're attracted to colors for warmth, they just covered me up, man. I mean, they covered me up. So it's, but
what,
that.
What you experienced was a mating,
okay,
thing going on is probably what it was.
Okay, well, I don't know if I want to be, I don't know if I want a mating on me. Well, to be honest with you.
As far as this upcoming game going on here, there's three goals that Alabama needs to do in this game. One, win the game, obviously. Two, establish an offensive rhythm in this game and get Ty Simpson back in rhythm. Because let's face it, he hasn't had an offensive rhythm since the Tennessee game. And three, get out of the game healthy. Don't need a serious injury to anybody important. Or anybody in general, but especially somebody important. That's really the three goals I'm looking for out of this game, because the last thing you need is somebody injured going into the Iron Bowl that's important. But I want to see an offensive rhythm, because this is a bad football team we're playing. And you just want to establish some kind of rhythm and get Ty Simpson and these receivers some confidence back and find some kind of running game we can have going into the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to, you know, you said it. You want to play well in this game. Hopefully get the game over with, get some younger players in, have a lot of positive momentum, feel like you're back on track. You know, this week I'm sure they'll be putting in some stuff for Auburn in addition to Eastern Illinois. But, yeah, you want to go out there Saturday, you want to take care of business, and you want to quickly turn the page and get ready for the biggest game of the season. I mean, there's no doubt now. I mean, it's a big game anyway, but you add in the fact that Alabama's playoff hopes, you know, are riding on the outcome of that Iron Bowl. I think if they lose that game, I don't think they're going to go to the playoff. I think if they lose that game and they're losing two of their last three, now it could be a possibility still based on what goes on around the country. But I think that game at Auburn is going to be a must win. So, yeah, Saturday, man, I'd like to see them be sharp. I'd like to see them have this game over at halftime. No offense to Eastern Illinois, which is the alma mater of Sean Payton and Tony Romo. They both played quarterback there at Eastern Illinois, but get this game over with and then get on the Iron Bowl and get to this college football playoff. Alabama needs to be in this college football playoff. I've said that all year. You don't need to have two 12-team playoffs and miss them both. You just don't need that. That just doesn't need to happen. So they need to take care of their business.
In your opinion, does it not matter what the seed is for Alabama, or do you just make the playoff? Or to you, does it matter what the seed is?
Well, I think you either want to have a bye, or if you're playing in that first round, you want to host. So I do think it matters. I don't think you want to have to travel. If you don't get the bye, I think it's obviously much more advantageous to host a game at home than to go somewhere else and play. So I do think it matters. Now, you know, can you win on the road? Certainly. You know, I mean, you can go into somebody else's stadium and win. But I think that you would love, if you don't get the bye, you hope that you're hosting that first round game and not traveling.
There's three teams I'm going to be looking at when these playoff rankings come out tonight, is Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Miami ahead of Alabama. Now, obviously, Oklahoma will probably be ahead of Alabama due to the head-to-head, but will Notre Dame and Miami be ahead of Alabama? That will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Alabama takes care of business against in the Iron Bowl and in the SEC Championship, that won't matter because Alabama will get a top four seed and that will take care of itself. But where Alabama falls tonight and whoever's ahead of us will tell you if Alabama does not make the SEC championship game or loses the SEC championship game, the committee will tell you where Alabama could fall in future rankings where they value head-to-head and strength of schedule. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for the most part, I do. I appreciate how you're studying it and take. I tell you how, and you probably have picked up on this listening to my show, I'm a little bit different on the rankings than most people in that I'm not consumed with them, especially the first couple of weeks. Now, obviously, I'm just always just focused on the final rankings. You know, to me, you know, that's, I don't really start looking at, well, if this happens or that happens. I pay attention to them, sure. You know, I like that Alabama was in the top four last week, you know, sure. But I kind of feel like, you know, the only ones that matter are the last ones. And that's when I don't get as hung up on them. I think it all works itself out. But, yeah, I think with what you said makes a lot of sense, sure.
Well, I just look at it like, okay, but really I think the last three are the ones I look at because rivalry weekend, things can always shape up.
Mm-hmm.
Conference championships, who needs to win or if an upset happens, and obviously the last one because that's going to be the playoff bracket. And so, for example, if Ohio State and Indiana are undefeated, one of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose, and that's going to have just whoever gets a higher seed. And then let's say it's hypothetically in a rivalry game, you have a team in a rivalry that could be a bid stealer. You never know. And then there's still some things can be sorted out, but most likely if chalk holds in the top 12, more than likely the top 12 could be what it is, unless the one conference that's probably is really chaotic is the ACC, but most likely the other three Power Four conferences, if things hold out, then most likely the teams that are in the top 12 are going to go, unless things get really crazy.
All right, buddy. Good analysis, Corey. We appreciate you, man, okay?
Good to talk to you, Gary. Roll
Tide. Yeah, good to talk to you. All right, let's get to Mary in the ATL, and we'll catch up on all our callers. Hey, Mary. Mary may have had to drop. All right, Mary, listen, I know you're probably at work, and that may be her calling right back in. If it is, then we will get her on. If not, we'll go ahead and hit the break anyway. And if that's Mary, we'll get to her on the other side. We'll do a break. Before we hit the break, I do want to remind you that it is going to be a beautiful day to have lunch. And when it's a beautiful day to have lunch, a lot of people enjoy sitting outside and having lunch at Billy's on that beautiful patio downtown Northport. Gorgeous this time of year. I mean, it's good inside, too, but I'm just saying, 70-something degrees, lunch outside at Billy's, yeah, I can handle that. All right, we're going to come back, and Mary, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. The Rocket Man, Drudy Armin, coming up to kick off the second hour. Also, we are going to try to get to some of that audio from yesterday with the Alabama coordinators and head coach Kalen DeBoer. So we still got a lot to do on the show. Loving these phone calls. We'll be back, 205-342-9904 is the number. We'll be right back after this.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after
52-7222, or visit them online at catfishheaventuscaloosa.com to check out their menu and order ahead. Catfish Heaven, where every bite feels just right.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens, but no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm, partially sunny both days, highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 950, the new class for the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame for 2026 was announced yesterday. I am a voter, so I play a role in that. The new class is as follows in alphabetical order: Jeff Brantley, Jason Campbell, John Copeland, Kim Evans, Evan Mathis, Ray Odoms, Les Studeman, and Tommy Tuberville. Three former University of Alabama athletes: Copeland, All-American football player on that great 92 defense, and went on to play 8 years with the Cincinnati Bengals. Evan Mathis, offensive guard for Alabama, went on to play a long time in the NFL as well. And Ray Odoms was a great basketball player for Alabama and also played a year of football in the USFL for the Memphis Showboats, was a tremendous athlete. So that's the class. I am not going to lie. I'm disappointed that my pal Tommy Wilcox has still not made it in. Two-time first-team All-American at Alabama. Team of the century as a defensive back, SEC defensive freshman of the year in 1979. And had hoped that he would make it in this time, but did not. But congratulations to all of those folks. All right, we got phone calls to get to. Mary in Atlanta, and then Steve in Tuscaloosa. By the way, I'm getting a lot of advice on the ladybugs versus the Asian lady beetles. All right, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I know I'm not like a coach or an official or anything, but you know, talking about that field goal block from Saturday night earlier, I did do a little bit of research.
Good.
Something, if you don't mind. Technically, it is illegal to run toward the line of scrimmage and jump or hurdle over an offensive player doing that. And if they did flag it, they would call it for a 15-yard penalty, and it would be an automatic first down.
Okay.
So one thing that is allowed is, you know, if you're stationary at the snap, you can still jump up, kind of like what we saw in 2009 when we blocked that field goal to beat Tennessee. You can jump at the snap if you're stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be considered illegal and they wouldn't flag the call. That's what I was able to find.
Well, that kind of falls in line with what I was told, that you can't get a running start. I guess what threw so many people off on that deal is it almost looked like he launched himself on top of the back of the snapper in the guard next to him. So he made a great play. Listen, he got a hand on that. He got a hand on that field goal, and that turned out to be the difference in the game. You know, Alabama lost by two. And if that field goal goes through, you know, of course the game might have been played out differently, but technically they would have won by one. So, but yeah, that makes sense, Mary. That's some good research.
Yeah, and then the another thing that I found is you just can't run or hurdle toward the line of scrimmage in order to, you know, jump or hurdle over
right. The
line. That's all the stuff that I found. But the one thing that I kind of thought about that kind of came to my attention yesterday, being at the ULM game this year and then thinking about it at Florida State, correct me if I'm wrong, there was quarterback rotation for all three quarterbacks in the Florida State game and in the ULM game. Am I right?
All right, say that again.
All three quarterbacks. This includes Ty Simpson, you know, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell. All three got to play during Florida State and ULM.
I know all three played during ULM. I'd have to go back and check on Chase. Did all three of them play in the Florida State game? I know they did in the ULM game. I have to check on Florida State. I don't remember all three of them playing that game. Maybe they got in late. I mean, as I've told people before, you know, I was at Legion Field that day doing the West Alabama game, so I watched it back on video, and I might have been because they got beat so badly, I might have been browsing through it and not paying close attention. But I'll check. But I know, yes, I know they all three played against ULM for sure. And I'll check on Florida State, Mary.
No, the one thing that I was thinking, you know, Ty Simpson is tired. He has got to be absolutely exhausted playing all these in-conference games straight. How beneficial would it be? I mean, and it could be a win factor in these next two, because I feel like these next two games are so crucial. I mean, to get that 31st SEC championship would be great. I would love to see them come to Atlanta to play. My full support always, obviously. But how beneficial would it be to rotate him out and let the other two get some playing time? Because Ty Simpson has got to be physically exhausted.
Well, Saturday against Eastern Illinois, I think that's the goal. I think the goal will be to get that game in hand and have guys, you know, not just at the quarterback position, but at all positions, get some younger players in. So I think that's what they'll be looking to do, Mary, for sure. So if it goes to according to script in the second half, you're going to see a lot of young players out there. That's what we hope for sure. Hey, I got to get to another call. Thank you so much, Mary.
Absolutely. You'll have a good day.
Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Steve in Tuscaloosa to close out this hour of the Gary Harris Show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, when did John Metchie get shipped off to the Jets?
Oh, that happened about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yeah, you know, the Eagles really weren't playing him very much. And they dealt him to the Jets, but that's good for him. Even though the Jets are a bad team, it's plenty of, you know, it's giving him a lot more playing opportunities.
Well, that's all I ever wanted for that guy. I just wanted him to have a chance to play. Everything that he's been through.
Yeah, he's got it now. Yeah, he's got it. He's on a team now where he's going to get to play some. He caught a touchdown, and I think, you know, he could factor in there for them in the future too, because I, you know, like you said, he went through the cancer, and with the Texans, I thought that was going to be a good fit. It didn't happen. They traded him to the Eagles. He didn't, you know, he kind of got, you know, lost in the shuffle there. But with the Jets now, he's getting an opportunity. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, listen, the last thing, I applaud Ole Miss for the stance they're taking with Kiffin. All I've been hearing this most of this season, if not all this season, is how much Lane Kiffin has matured and grown up, but he's just acting like a spoiled little brat. You know, keeping them dangling out there. And I like Kiffin as a coach, but I don't see any signs of maturity based on what he's been doing with
him. Right.
That's just my take. I don't know about you.
Well, I thought he had, you know, I think he has matured some, but he likes needling, and he, you're right. Right now, my take is you're that he's almost taunting Ole Miss. It's almost like, you know what, I'm gonna play this out, and you know, I guess he's in a position of that we should envy. I mean, he's making millions of dollars, and he's got people that want to pay millions more. So, you know, to coach football, but that's not a Lane Kiffin problem. That's a college athletics program problem. They have gotten this. We've talked about it before. They've gotten themselves a point where these contracts are nuts. They're ridiculous. There's nowhere else in business or life where you get contracts like these coaches get. So,
I agree. But I applaud what Ole Miss is doing.
Yeah, well, they got to know. I mean, at some point, you know, you've got to know something. So, and you know, with Lane, he may be just, you know, he may be just having some fun with LSU in Florida. Hey, man, he's got to listen. I do know this because, as you know, I've got some friends that are close to the Ole Miss program, including Brett Brewer, Billy Brewer's son, and they've given him everything he's asked for there, Steve. I'm telling you, you could not do more for a football coach than Ole Miss has done for Lane Kiffin. I promise you that.
That's what I gather.
Yep.
They've been, like you said, been over backwards.
Yep.
You know, giving him
everything.
Control,
everything he's asked for.
Whatever he's wanted.
Complete control. Doesn't have to do a lot of alumni functions. Doesn't have to do a lot. I mean, they have been over backwards for the guy. So if he leaves,
I know.
You know, be careful. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two, we'll lead it off with the Rocket Man, Rudy Armin, plus more of your phone calls. And Quinnen Williams had a big debut for the Cowboys last night. I'll get into that. We may play some audio from yesterday as well if we have time. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show is on the way. Cause it's you that I got to say
goodbye to all my friends at home. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
The Cowboys cruise past the Raiders 33-16 to wrap up week 11 of the NFL, where Dak Prescott threw for 268 yards and 4 touchdowns, while George Pickens had 9 catches for 144 yards and a touchdown. In the NBA, the Bulls came ready to play in Denver.
The send-out accepted by Vooch in front of Herter. Rolling to his right. See you, Vooch. Topside open three. Bam! Big-time shot, Vooch!
You just heard on the Bulls radio network, they snapped their 5-game losing streak and beat the Nuggets 130-127. The 76ers came back to defeat the Clippers 110-108. James Harden ended with 28 points and has officially reached 28,000 career points. The Cavaliers topped the Bucks 118-106. The Heat held on 150.
And your house is lit up. Go outside, snap a pic, and send it to us through the Tide 100.9 app. And let's light up West Alabama this Christmas.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the air for this beautiful Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. Absolutely gorgeous outside, as I said. Going to be well up into the 70s. Later this week, could hit 80. Could be, you know, possibly getting to some record highs. It's unbelievable, but it's nice. And like I said, I've found out a lot of information about the ladybugs, so I appreciate everybody texting and sending in the app messages, and I'll get to some app messages here. But and I appreciate Drudy Armin pushing his interview back today from 9:30 to 10, and now the Rocket Man is with us. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Go ahead, Chase, and play it. We normally come out of a break, but we can't intro Drudy Armin without hearing a Loyal John. So I'm going to give Chase time to get it up, because threw us off because we took it out of the open here. But, well, now, of course, he's trying. We're waiting. It just doesn't feel right unless we get – there we go. Kind of let me start over here. All right, we're joined now by Drudy Armin, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, co-host Talking Ball. The Rocket Man is with us to talk some Bama football and basketball and more. Good morning, Drew. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Gary?
Doing great, man. I guess it's kind of the same in Huntsville. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about the weather, but it is November 18th, and it feels like it's May. I guess y'all are kind of getting the same dose up there, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's mid-70s. It's really nice weather. Basically, we spent most of the show today playing the Lane Kiffin, should he stay or should he go? So that's, it's going to be interesting because whatever he chooses to do is going to swing the pendulum in a massive way in the coaching carousel. I mean, it could open up, the Ole Miss job, and then that could have an effect on the Auburn search. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's bizarre too, but it's so Lane Kiffin. I mean, he's having his best year at Ole Miss. There's an outside chance they could go to the SEC title game. Even if they don't, they'd be in the college football playoff. They're having their best season, since the Johnny Vaught era. He's had a great run there in 6 years. And yet, the way he's handling this and not signing the extension they've had on his desk for a month is just really, it's almost an abject disaster. You can't really call it that yet because Ole Miss is still 10-1. We'll see what happens in the Egg Bowl. But, man, I mean – it's so crazy. It would be so Lane Kiffin because he's the only Alabama assistant to ever be fired by Nick Saban during a season in 17 years. And it would be so Lane Kiffin that, that he would – there's a possibility that he might not even coach in the Egg Bowl and that he wouldn't even coach his team in the college football playoff. And that's just – that's something I think only Lane Kiffin could accomplish.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up, Drew, because it also, I think, speaks to, I don't know if you call it a problem. I mean, it is what it is, but I want to get your take on it because I've never, now that you brought up Kiffin, I've never asked you this, but I've talked about how these athletic departments have gotten themselves leveraged, and nowhere is it more obvious to me than with these coaching contracts. I mean, there's not anywhere else that operates like this. There's in the business world or in most normal people's lives. I mean, listen, if you're bad at your job and you get fired, you usually don't get anything, or you might get a couple weeks or whatever. And even if you're, if you've done a good job and, you're laid off or you move on, but in these coaching deals, these contracts, I mean, they're ridiculous, and it's almost like insider trading with these agents. Stock market, they have rules against this, but you have agents manipulating these things who might represent two or three coaches that are in the same search, or they might represent a coach and then represent an athletic director. And what we're seeing are these contracts that are just ridiculous. I mean, they're so one-sided. The coach has every bit of the leverage. I mean, I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, Drew, but at some point with the way they're having to tighten up their financial purses with these athletic departments, somebody along the line is going to have to take a stand and just say, hey, we want to hire you, but we're not paying you this outrageous contract, or are we just too far gone for that? How do you see it big picture wise with these coaches' contracts? Because they're crazy.
Well, I mean, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, Gary. The amazing thing about Lane Kiffin in this, crazy cycle this year, because, like last year, for example, there was no changes in the SEC. So it was a relatively calm off season. But the crazy thing about it is Lane's the most wanted man probably in the cycle, no question, because he's at the top of the list at LSU. He's at the top of the list at Florida. Ole Miss has a contract on his desk. He's already making $9 million a year. I mean, we live in a crazy world right now where the Kentucky football coach makes $9 million a year. So, but they've got a contract on Lane Kiffin's desk to make him one of the top 3 to 5, you know, highest paid coaches in the country. I would say it's $12 million plus a year. And I'll just ask you a question that I asked on another show yesterday that you're very familiar with. How many national championships, even SEC titles, SEC championship games has, you know, Lane Kiffin ever coached in?
That would be zero.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that he hasn't even coached in the college football playoff yet. Very, very likely that's going to happen this year unless he leaves for another job and they don't even allow him to coach the team, which, like I said before, would be so Lane Kiffin. I mean, he's never won an SEC title. He's never won a national title. Never, you know, played the playoff. He's never, you know, basically won anything of consequence. He did win the league at FAU, okay, given that. And he has had unprecedented success in the modern era at Ole Miss in those 6 years. But bottom line, it hasn't resulted in an SEC division title that they've done away with, or an SEC title, or, you know, a national championship, or even a playoff berth. But at least he's going to probably X off the playoff berth. Yet he still may not coach the team. It's just insane. And I'll be honest, paying this price for Lane Kiffin, who's never, you know, had a one-loss season before, as far as in the Power Four at least, and who has never won a championship, to me is insanity. I don't understand why everybody loves Lane Kiffin. I think he's done a really good job at Ole Miss, and I don't blame their administration for being proactive and wanting to keep him, because Ole Miss, think about it, Gary, in the modern era, when we had divisions, they never went to the SEC championship game. You know, they haven't won an SEC title since Coach Vaught. They haven't won a national championship since then. So this success that Lane Kiffin has had in these 6 years, these 4-10-win seasons, I don't blame them for wanting to keep him. But why Florida and in my opinion, and also LSU are falling all over themselves, I don't know. I know some of the theory is, well, both these programs, and they have won 3 national championships in the last 20 to 25 plus years. And so they're thinking, with our resources, Lane Kiffin could do that. I argue that I'm not sure he could, because, I mean, like I said, at Alabama, he certainly helped them win one in 2015, but he also crashed and burned, you know, before he left. And I understand that hopefully he's matured as a coach, but I don't think there's any guarantee that he's going to, you know, win a national championship at either one of those places. Now, if I were him, what would I do? And that's another question. I would leave, and here's my theory. Because, again, I think he's done as much as he can at Ole Miss. I'll be honest with you, and this is where the hard decision has to be made. And I'm going to say this, too. I don't blame Ole Miss for trying to move on, okay, or just at least get clarity for the situation. Because in this transfer portal era, we all know how it works. Trying to sign your recruiting class in early December, and then you got the portal window coming up in January. And we know if coaches move, you can lose half your roster or more. So they want clarity with the situation because they don't want 2026 to be a lost season. So I don't blame them. I would want Lane Kiffin to fish or cut bait. And, you know, but if I were Lane and push came to shove, you have to make the tough decision, Gary. And he's never going to go on the record and say this while this journey is underway. But can you win a national championship at Ole Miss? Can you go on a playoff run and win it? Or do you have a better chance to get the talent to win it at Florida or LSU? And my answer to that is I think you've got the chance to win a national championship or a better chance at Florida or LSU. And then you have to decide which one of the two jobs you want more. And right now, quite frankly, if I were Lane Kiffin, I would want, you know, the Florida job because he has an affinity for that state. He loved it at FAU, even though he maxed that out because they couldn't pay him anymore. And I think Florida, you're in the middle of an outstanding recruiting base. certainly you are at LSU as well, but then you have all the craziness going on with LSU, with the school president, the AD, and the governor meddling. You have some instability at president at Florida, but I think that's going to work itself out. And here's the other thing you have at Florida, and I know he's been taking a part in helping try to recruit him. You've got a guy like Steve Spurrier down the road who knows it so well, and an AD in Scott Strickland who's been under fire, but who did hire Todd Golden and won a national title. And so, to me, I think there's a little bit more stability at Florida, and I think there's a chance for more long-term success. So I think if I'm Lane Kiffin, I've got to make the very difficult, decision to go to Florida.
Well stated, and of course, I will say this, Drew, and I've said it already on the program. You know, I got some close contacts over there and with the Ole Miss program. Regardless of where he goes, he will not be revered. I mean, Ole Miss has done everything imaginable for that man. I mean,
Gary, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And I don't mean to interrupt you because I know you have great contact, and I've heard some things too. What I heard yesterday, and I want to bounce it off of you and ask you a question as the host. To me, the gist I got from people that have spoken to Ole Miss boosters is they're tired of this and they want him to leave.
Well, they're tired of it. I will tell you that. And I don't know if I would go as strongly to say they want him to leave. But like you said earlier, it's kind of fish or cut bait time. That I do think that they're at that point where they're tired of dealing with it. Now, if he came to them and said, "Hey, I want to stay here," I think they would say, "Yes, that's fine, let's do it." But I don't think they're ready for him necessarily to leave, but they're tired, like you said, of the circus, the soap opera, being toyed with, really. And because of that, now there might be some of them that are at that point, but I do think the longer this goes on without him signing that extension, the more likely, as you alluded to, that it will get to that point where, you know, they just say, "Hey, you can't come back now. You've done. There's too much damage done." So, like you said, it is a story within a story. And for all the talk about it, and I've talked about it, how he matured, his 3 years at Nick Saban, as you said, to get fired. And that's what I was talking with an Ole Miss person last night, and we were discussing Lane. And I said, "You got to remember, now this is, it's nearly 10 years ago, but Drew, what do you have to do to get fired before the national championship game? You've got a true freshman quarterback, the only guy he's ever had in his ear calling plays for him, and it got so bad after that semifinal game in Atlanta against Washington. As you said, Nick Saban fired the guy, and I still think that cost Alabama a national championship. So what he is, the way he is capable of getting under people's skin, I mean, you've said it, that's the perfect example, because that was the last thing Nick Saban wanted to do, but he felt like after that circus in Atlanta that he had no choice, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a culmination, I think. And you've been there for a long time. I've been in this business for 10 years. With Lane Kiffin, it was not just how that was handled, but it was just the entirety of the 3 years, Gary. I mean, I think it just wore on Nick Saban, and I think he was just tired of it. And it's kind of like what you're talking about with some of the Ole Miss people. They certainly are very grateful for what he's done, but they're just weary of all of it, just like today. I know there was that huge outage this morning, but before they had the outage, someone sent me a post of some excerpt from a book that Lane tweeted out, and it was so cryptic, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the Ole Miss people are tired of it, and they still can go out and hire an outstanding coach and still be really good, because they're committed to paying top dollar. They're committed to the NIL. I mean, I don't know that they'll ever win a national championship, but at the very least, they've proven, and Lane has proven, and in building that program, that Ole Miss can get to the college football playoff, which is a huge step. So at least he has proven to, if there is a new coach in Oxford, that what can be accomplished there. But I will say this. I don't think there'll be any patience if he goes to Gainesville. He better win and win in a hurry. But I do think that he or Elijah Drinkwitz would be a good fit in Gainesville. I've never really talked about until the last week, if and going to Florida, just simply because I thought he would stay at Ole Miss. But then in the last week, I've started, changing my tune on that. And it just seems like that he's finally wanting to move. I think he realizes that look, if I stay this time, Gary, to me, you're in there, you're going to be there for a decade plus, and your next move, to me, the only one it would be to go back to the NFL and try it again the way he did with the Oakland Raiders years ago. And so you just have to go back and you know, if you continue to get Ole Miss to the playoff and have success. I don't know if you'll ever – I don't think you'll ever win an SEC or a national title. That's personally my opinion, even though I thought he had as good a roster last year as anyone to at least win the SEC. But, of course, we know they choked. But, again, I do think if he continued to have success, that would be the only other, you know, move for him. Otherwise, you just stay in Oxford, and they may just put a statue of you up there. You end up becoming – because you do things that no one else has ever done. And that could go through his mind now as a reason to stay. But to me, it just seems like Lane Kiffin, if you're a competitor, you eventually want to climb the top of the mountain and you think you can win a national championship. And I think if you're going to do that, you go to Florida or LSU. And I just have always thought that he had an affinity for the Sunshine State, and Florida would be a really good fit for him. I still think he'd be a much better fit at Florida than he would be even at LSU. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. With what he's accomplished there in Oxford, if he could mend the fences there, they might build a statue. But it's going to be interesting to follow this out. All right, let's get to Alabama before we have to close out the segment. And disappointing on Saturday. There's no way around it. I mean, you know, Alabama should have beaten that team. But we saw something that we had not seen, and that was Alabama make mistakes that just absolutely – were too much to overcome. I mean, they moved the football. I don't know, the defense played well. But, you know, short fields for Oklahoma, you know, pick six, a missed field goal. I mean, at the end of the day, you add it all up. And, Drew, they just couldn't get over the hump because they absolutely shot themselves in the foot.
Well, they did. And, you know, it was disappointing. You know, and for the last month or so, the offense has, not been running on all cylinders and has been a bit of a struggle. I mean, the running game has been, you know, a work in progress all year, but the passing game at times has been really, really good. But in the last month, it struggled a little bit. But where Alabama always seemed to figure it out, Gary, and they did the same thing against LSU, is they, in situational football, they would put together a drive or two in a close game that would be able, to win the football game. And I thought with 7 minutes to go, getting the ball back against Oklahoma, that they were going to do it again. And my mind was so fixated on scoring a touchdown because I thought that's what they needed to win 28-23. I thought they could go down, score a TD like they did against South Carolina to tie it and then win it, you know, like they did against Vanderbilt to eat up most of the fourth quarter. I just thought overall and of course they kicked a field goal in the Vanderbilt situation and then turned it over on downs and scored a touchdown. But I just thought that they could put a drive together and win the game. And I was fixated on a touchdown against OU because you saw him. Their kicker is a machine.
Yeah, he is.
I just felt even if you left a minute on the clock, which is not a lot of time, two completed passes and homeboy might make a 65-yarder. Okay, so I'm thinking Sandell has that kind of range, so you better score a touchdown. But then it became obvious, and credit to, you know, Coach Brent Venables and that defense, that Alabama was probably not going to score a touchdown. You needed to get in field goal range and hope that Talty bounced back like he did against LSU, where he drilled a 44-yarder after missing a 26-yarder, also made a 45-yarder. So you're hoping you make a field goal and can win it, you know, with a few seconds left on the clock, 24-23. But, you know, and if you had told me before the game, Alabama had a first down and 10 at around their own 42-43-yard line, and needed about 30 or 40 yards, I would have said very good chance they win it. But didn't happen. Great defense by Oklahoma. And I'll be honest with you, a microcosm of it was, I thought it was a brilliant call on that fourth down on the reverse, and they get the first down. But what a job by Oklahoma's defense to chase down Lottie Brooks, because when it was called, I thought he was going to gain 15, 20
yards. Yeah, and he barely wound up getting it.
Yeah, he got it by a yard. So they did a great job defending it. But, you know, the key was Alabama didn't handle the blitz well all day. Ty kind of held on to the ball too long. And then on his strip sack, he didn't step up in the pocket. But I'll be honest with you. If you gain 406 yards to get the defense of that caliber, I thought the O-line did a good enough job. You're going to give up some sacks and some negative plays because they're really good. And I thought even with only 80 yards, and really you have to include the sacks in there, they really rushed for over 100. I thought Daniel Hill did a great job, 60 yards, two touchdowns. They did enough with the run to win the game. It just came down to two or three things. It came down to Simpson wasn't, you know, it good enough, especially on the big downs. On third and fourth down, he wasn't as good as he has been all year. He didn't handle the blitz well at all. You know about the pick six and things of that nature. And then it comes down to the kicking game. I thought the kicking game, stands that the missed field goal last week against LSU was really good. But then on the flip side against Oklahoma, it was an abject disaster because, you know, you miss a 36-yard field goal. And the snap wasn't great, but it was mostly a kicking issue. And then you look like you made a great punt, which you did. You used the sideline as a coffin corner, yet you missed two tackles and let them out for a 42-yard return, which leads to a score. And then Ryan Williams fumbles it when you're right back in the game at 10-7, and Oklahoma gets their only touchdown of the night because of that. So the special teams was just a disaster. And so was the offensive execution when it mattered. And like you said, Gary, for the first time all year, Alabama turns it over more than once. And that was a death blow because Alabama's defense played lights out. But the one thing I will say, and it's really, I didn't think it was a coaching issue, though. You got to give Venables credit. And I think his coaching staff did out-coach Alabama by the plan they put together defensively. But I still think Alabama staff did a good enough job. The plays were there to be made. If you're Ty Simpson on second down after you give up the sack because you hold the ball too long on that final drive, you've got to hit Isaiah Horton when he's open past the stick. He didn't do that. He short hopped it. There was a third down, after they led 21-20 where he had Germ open and he didn't hit him there. It was just some plays here or there that they left on the field that were very disappointing. It reminded me kind of a combination of the Texas game in 2023. And then when they lost, besides the Texas game, but the way they kind of lost to Ole Miss in 2015 because of the five turnovers, mm-hmm. This time it's three. You just kind of left too much out on the field. So, but I will say this, the fortunate thing for Alabama is they have everything still out in front of them. A lot of the tiebreakers that are in place are in Alabama's favor. So if they beat Auburn after they take care of Eastern Illinois, then I think no question they're going to get the SEC championship game. And I think that's a successful season. And I'll be quite blunt. The SEC this year is about styles and fights and matchups. I think Alabama matches up well with A&M or Georgia, who would very likely be their opponent. So I think on a neutral field, Alabama could win it. And if they do, they're 11-2 and they're in the playoff. I think there's an above average chance they'd even be in if they were 10-3 and didn't win it. So I think this is a huge 2 weeks for Kalen DeBoer and in Alabama. You know, I don't think he's on the hot seat or anything like that, but I think as far as direction of the program and if he is the right guy, I think winning these next two games is huge because I don't think there's any doubt if they get to the playoff this year and of course maybe stack an SEC title on top of that, you've had a very successful season and you just don't want to repeat last year's finish, which you kind of would, or it would be very, very similar if you don't beat Auburn and you fall short of Atlanta and the playoff. It's going to be very disappointing. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team bounces back. I think they have very strong internal leadership, and I don't get the same feeling of this loss like I did at Florida State. Florida State was, I was angry. I felt like the team wasn't ready to play. I think they were ready to play against Oklahoma. But sometimes the opponent just outplays you and plays better complementary football. And that's what happened on Saturday. So now Alabama has to bounce back. Nick Saban lost several games like this where if you look back at his career, Gary, he didn't lose many. But when he did, A lot of them were like that game we watched. But he had a great way of getting his team to bounce back, and now Kalen DeBoer has to do the same thing.
Yeah, well said. And that you summed up exactly where Alabama football's at. Getting up against the clock, but I do want to ask you about basketball. And like you said, man, you know, styles make fights, and when you play the schedule Alabama's playing, you're going to have some ups and downs. Great win at St. John's, you know, disappointing home loss to Purdue, but much like Oklahoma in football, Purdue's a bad matchup for Alabama, Drew. I just think it's, you know, the physicality, and we saw it. I mean, they just got obliterated on the backboard, hung in there and had a chance to win the game. I mean, it's 80-80, then it's 82-80, and finally shooting a front end that he misses. You know, he makes those two free throws there. I think this thing goes right down to the wire, but Purdue scored the final 7 points of the game. But this Alabama's a good team. There's no doubt about it. But this has been the recipe for beating Alabama. Of course, you know, it's hard to beat them, and it's hard for anybody to beat Purdue. But when you play those big, physical, experienced teams, Alabama sometimes can struggle. What did you see from that game, and what do you see going forward?
Well, I just think they've got to have better guard play. They did against St. John. LeBaron wasn't very good against Purdue. It wasn't one of his better games. And then it was probably as poorly as I've ever seen Reitzel play.
Yeah.
Because he's usually deadly with the open shot. I think he was only 1-for-6 from the floor or something to that effect. And he did not do it, at least from three, excuse me. And he did not, he only hit 1-3 and they were open. He just wasn't really an offensive factor. And then, you know, Millett made a big shot tied at 80, but he didn't have a great game either. So Aiden Holloway, really the only one of those four guards that played well. And they didn't get as much. I think Amari Allen and London Jimison, who are both going to be crucial parts of this team, combined for 2-for-8. So when Houston Millett and Latrell Reitzel, don't play well, I think Alabama's going to struggle. And LeBaron Fylon, I think they went a combined 10 for 30. Now, you know, Aiden Holloway was great. And I thought, you know, Aiden Sherrill was solid, no question about it. And then I thought Bull Bowen was pretty good. Now he needs to rebound, and they got drilled on the glass, and that's going to have to improve because, you know, Illinois's got a lot of international talent. They're big as well. So you're going to have to rebound, and that's about effort. But, you know, it just came down to this. Alabama didn't shoot it well enough the second half. If they'd have made 23, they made 16, then they still win the game. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't work out for them. And so you've got to rebound better. You've got to get your guard play, to be more consistent. But, you know, you credit Purdue, too, because they're so well coached. They had a great plan. And like you say, but you got to – and they need to get Keaton Bristow back because Bristow gives them energy, gives them more insight, gets them more shot blocking and rebounding. So it's going to be interesting to see if Bristow's available against Illinois and if they can bounce back and get a big win on a quote-unquote neutral floor in Chicago.
Yeah, it will be fun. Hey, great stuff as always, Drew. And a quick word about different outlets where the listeners can find you.
Yeah, they can find me at DrewD977ESPN on X. They can find us at 977ESPN at the station. You missed Talking Ball with Scott Tyson and myself. You can find it at 97.7 The Zone on SoundCloud or ESPN977.com. We always appreciate being on the Gary Harris Show, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Drew. All right, it is 10:30. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back, and I got to get the show back on time. But from here on out, we'll also have plenty more time for phone calls, 205-342-9904, and I might try to get to some of the audio from yesterday's press conferences as well. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WTBC, your home for University of Alabama football and more Alabama sports in general. We'll be right back.
Time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Interim Northport City Administrator Tara Tubbs now full-time after being appointed by the City Council. City Attorney Ron Davis says she'll hold several titles.
She would also be the City Clerk, City Treasurer,
and the appointed authority.
A contract must be negotiated. The business license is for Northport Massage Parlor.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCH System.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
And that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high 76. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm. Partially sunny both days. Highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35. I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day Men's Health offers convenient expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. You know, if you are suffering from fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, those aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your specific goals. You know what? You'll sit down. They'll have complete intake and blood work done in 15 minutes. You'll get the results. You'll meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and you'll begin your customized treatment plan right away. It's just that simple. You'll be feeling better in just a couple of days. I know. I've been over there. It is an incredible facility. Again, Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health. Okay, we're going to get back on time, but Ragged Glory and Curtis, you guys hold tight. After this break, we'll get to your phone calls, and we will carry on. We're going to get back on schedule here. We went a little bit over with Drew, but we'll be right back with phone calls here.
Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:39. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We caught up on our break, so let's take some phone calls. I'm going to lead off with Curtis. Hey, Curtis, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? You can hear me, man?
Yes, sir. We got you loud and clear.
Yes, sir. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I know I haven't called in a while, but you know I'm always listening.
Oh, I know. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I want to make just a comment. I don't have a question here, but I heard Tom earlier saying if we, you know, lose in the SEC, if we make it there, of course, if we, you know, get being the, you know, SEC championship, that 10-3 Alabama will go. And I agree with you, and I'll give you the reason. See, the thing about it is those other conferences like Big 12 and ACC, a lot of those teams are like below the between 12 and 25 or whatever, or even outside of 25.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many SEC teams and Big 10 teams that are within that top 12, to include Notre Dame. So So the committee's not going to punish you for playing that extra game when all these other teams, including SEC teams, had, you know, they kind of just sat it out. So that's the reason why Alabama gets in, even at 10-3. I mean, do you agree with me on that?
Oh, absolutely. No, listen, if Alabama wins the next two, and goes to that SEC championship game and loses it, they're not going to be penalized for losing that championship game. Otherwise, you know, it would be an uproar that we have never seen, and rightfully so, because you're right. All conferences aren't equal. And if you qualify for the conference championship game in the SEC because you're one of the top two teams, you're not going to be kept out of the playoff if you lose that game. If you do, it'll be a gnashing of teeth like we've never heard. So I agree with you 100%. If Alabama wins the next two games, whether they go to Atlanta or not, they're in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and the difference between last year and this year, Alabama already had three losses in the regular season.
That's right. That's a huge difference. Now listen, if Alabama were to lose the Iron Bowl, do I think they could be kept out? Absolutely. You lose two of your last three, one of them to a team that's 1-6 in the conference, whether it's a rivalry or not. But if they win the next two games, they're in the college football playoff, in my opinion.
I agree with you. Hey, I'll let you go. I know you got Ragged on hold.
No, we're good.
I just want to hear what he has to say, too.
Thank you, right, Curtis. Always a pleasure, man. Good to hear from you. Outstanding phone call. All right, now we got Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Oh, wow. What a segue. That was a surprise. Hey, you know what? Basically what I wanted to say is this game pretty much our loss to Oklahoma. Why in the world, after the embarrassment we suffered at Florida State, would you change what was working for us all the way through? You know what? This is on the coaches for making some, let's see what happens if we do this, put this person over here, let's do this, you know, and the next thing you know, we gave up 17 points on turnovers. If you would stay to the tried and true, we never would have lost.
All right, give me a specific example of what you're talking about, because what did they do differently?
The pre-snap
motion?
No, I'm talking about why would we take our offensive line, move somebody inside to right guard, and I'm not naming names here, so I'm just saying our tackle into guard and put somebody in to be the tackle who was getting beat a lot. The pockets are collapsing. And then let's see, let's just try so-and-so and, you know, let's try our special teams return and see what happens, you know. So there's two. Pressure can cause, because I played the position, a quarterback to throw or make a bad decision and throw an interception, which turns into a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hurried, and then you're getting creamed in the pocket, even though you may make a mistake going either right or left and run into somebody, or next thing you know, you're already surrounded and you drop the football. You know, it just, things were changed that should not have been changed. This is on the coaches, not the players.
All right, Ragged. Noted.
That's it. I just wanted to bring it and thank you for taking the call.
Appreciate you, man. Absolutely. Good to hear from you. All right, it's 10:45 here on the Gary Harris Show. And let me tell you about my good friends at Decades Pub and Grub. And I mentioned this last week, but their daily specials are unbelievable. On Tuesday, it's a $13 lunch bunch special, choice of sandwich, wrap, or salad, including soft drink or tea. Wednesday, the Nan pizzas are back. I had one last week. Oh my gosh, I'll be going back again, believe me. I'll be going back every Wednesday because those pizzas are incredible. Thursday is the Get Smash Special. Indulge in a $10 single Bambino burger served with fries. Friday night is ladies' night. All kinds of specials there. Sunday is the wing special. They've got happy hour specials daily. Just a really neat place. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do so. People that have listened to the show have told me, hey, man, we got by Decades Pub and Grub. It is incredible. Great, great vibe. Two different bars. One's got the rock and roll music. The other's got the sports. Decades Pub and Grub, two bars in one, downtown at Timberson Square. All right, we're coming back with our final segment. We're still open for more phone calls. We've been getting a lot of them today, a lot of them this week. I'm enjoying that. 205-342-9904. If we don't get any calls, we're going to get to some Alabama football coaches press conference audio from yesterday. I'll ask Chase which one that has played the least on the shows over the last day, and then we'll play some of that unless we get phone calls. We get phone calls, that'll trump everything else. All right, we got one final segment to go. Also, I am going to get into the Quinnen Williams. What a night he had for the Cowboys in his debut last night. I'll discuss that, and we'll be right back after this.
This woman, media personality, filmmaker, and author. She'll share her pearls of hope for thriving in life and leadership. Secure your spot today at WestAlabamaChamber.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa at Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
Partner of the Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and... Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that. That's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm, partially sunny both days, highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper.
Will you take my hand? Don't feel the reaper. Will you be able to fly? Don't feel the reaper.
Baby, I'm your man.
Who wants to call? Man, a classic. Rock and roll classic here on the Gary Harris Show. Of course, tomorrow, Larry the Music Man. Right now, before we get to another phone call, and once again, we probably won't have time for any of the coaches' press conference audio. We just tell you what, this phone call is starting to dominate this show. Chase, they really are. But Quinnen Williams last night, listen, man, it was one game, but he got away from the Jets, which, you know, are going to be in a complete rebuild mode, and got to the Cowboys last night, and all he did was have four total tackles, 1.5 sacks, a tackle for loss, and 5 quarterback hits. I mean, Wow, he was impressive against the Raiders. Now, again, it is the Raiders, and their offensive line is horrible. But Quinnen Williams brought to the Cowboys in his first game exactly what they traded for, and that's a disruptive interior defensive lineman. With him and Kenny Clark now, Cowboys, they're no joke. I'm telling you, they got a chance to string some wins together. And Quinnen Williams last night was a monster on the defensive front. All right, let's get to some phone calls. We got Robbie Glenn and then Cole here in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. How you doing, buddy? Nice to hear you singing again before I get on. Always good.
Thanks.
And the ladybug thing, yes. It's amazing how many there are, but I did notice now that we have this cold night, every time I go to leave in the morning, I have about 1,000 dead ones at my front door and back door, and I'm having to sweep them out, so... That's kind of sad, but I don't know where they're coming from. First time I've seen them, in a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen them like this.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And,
but as far as the game, Raggett did hit on a couple things right there. I was shocked Ryan Williams was back returning punts. I know he's electric, but I really like safety back there, security, and that's, number 7, Cole. I think he's just one of the best in college football of knowing when to call fair catch. He doesn't let it get over his head. He'll get you 7 to 10, could bust it. Now, if you're down 14, I could see Ryan Williams back there because he is electric and dangerous with the ball. But that's, here and there, you could be a armchair coach all day after the game. And, same thing as that last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that we did go to Ryan because they're going to have their number one on him and Germ and Isaiah. They're going to be their best corners. That they didn't have an answer for Cuevas all game. And I was shocked we didn't go to him.
Yeah, a lot of people.
We needed it because they could not stop him.
Right, you're right.
At all.
You're right.
I thought we'd have drew up a play from there. The missed kick, that's part of it. It was in the first half. We could have come back. The fumble really hurt us bad. But then I called it. I said, we're going to go right back to Ryan so he can make up for it. And he made that big catch first play after the fumble. I hated it. We dominated. We just lost the game. And now our backs are against the wall again. Second year in a row. And here we go to Auburn, and of course they make it a night game. First time I think it's been in forever that we played a night game for the Iron Bowl, and it's going to be a tough game. But hopefully we get through this week, no injuries, practice a lot of things, get some stuff cleaned up, get some backups in, get them some work, and get ready for a huge game, after Thanksgiving.
That's right. Well said. Yeah, the last night game in the Iron Bowl was 2014. Here in Tuscaloosa, 55-44. That was that crazy offensive game, where Auburn jumped out, then Alabama came back and was up 55-36 with a minute and something to go. And Malzahn was going crazy on the sidelines, running down, calling timeouts, trying to get, and then he went for two, just trying to make the final score look better. But that was the last night game. Yeah. So, and it's been, the last night game at Jordan-Hare, let's see, 2011 was the kick six. That was an afternoon game. Or 2013 was the kick six. That was an afternoon game. 2011 was an afternoon game. 2009 was an afternoon game. 2007, I can't remember the last time they had a night game down there for the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare. And the first one that comes to mind is the 90s. But I do remember 97 was a night game because Ed Sisson had the fumble. 99 was a night game. That was Alabama's first win at Jordan-Hare. 2001 was a day game. So, yeah, probably be 99, I think, since the last time they had a night game for the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare. So, yeah.
Well, that place is going to be rowdy, and, they need any more motivation to get up for that game.
You're right. They're going to have plenty.
Auburn's going to be ready.
So. All right, Robbie, thanks, man. I'm going to get one more call. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, as always. All right, let's get to Cole is going to close it out. Hey, Cole.
Here's the good news. Remember SME played in their conference championship and they got in?
Yeah, from a league not nearly as tough as the SEC. If Alabama wins the next two games, they're going to be in the playoffs. Yeah,
exactly. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Cole. Appreciate it. It's a good way to go out right there. Perfect timing. Cole, hey, listen, we did not get to any of the coaches' audio, whether it was Grubb, whether it was Womack, whether it was DeVore. So we'll leave that for other shows. How about that? Because we got, man, I tell you what, I've always said I'm a content-driven show, Chase, but phone callers have taken over. Phone callers have said, you know what? take a back seat for a little bit. Let us dominate. I like it. I love letting people get on. We're having a lot of fun. Had a good show today. Appreciate Drudy Armin. Appreciate all the phone calls. A reminder, catch me on TV tonight with your local sports, including the 9 o'clock news, Chase, which I'm adjusting to. Really, really tough one to have Tyler Insider. Tyler Insider doesn't end until 7. And I got to try to grab a little quick bite and get ready for the 9 o'clock news. How about that? But Tyler Insider tonight at 6:30 with Rodney Orr and me. And then back here tomorrow, Wednesday Hump Day edition tomorrow. The NASCAR report is over for a while. But we will have Larry the Music Man. And you know what? I'm going to look into getting a couple special guests this week, too. Friday's at the Free, too, coming up. Friday I'll be at Industry Hours Pub Live. It's going to be a little different weekend this weekend. It's going to be low-key with the Eastern Illinois game. 1 o'clock kick, no TV. It's a stream, ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus. But it kind of be kind of the calm before the storm, you know, kind of nice and take it easy and enjoy, hopefully, an easy win and then get down to the Iron Bowl a week from Saturday. All right, so that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank all our great sponsors. We mentioned several of them here every day, and Alabama Credit Union, Brick and Spoon, the YMCA, Decades, Innisfree. Let me help them run them down here. I'm running out. I got the new one, Rock and Roll Sushi. But anyway, I'm killing a little time here because Chase likes me to go up a little bit longer because Kristen has to get ready to do his show and hook up to the YouTube and all that. But we appreciate all our great sponsors. I can promise you that. And make the show possible. Okay, that's going to do it. And we've got the Miller's Edge coming up next. It's nice and warm outside. Everybody enjoy the great weather. And I'll talk to you again in the morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show.
Listening.